Today's word is, it's already paid.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Some people are thinking financially. The mortgage is already paid.
Hallelujah.
The debt has been paid. I'm going to be a millionaire.
Amen.
Oh, don't work that way. Our riches are in heaven. Some people are like, oh, shucks. What I came to hear. It's already paid. Do you know Irish people are very funny about money? And all the internationals said, amen. If you've ever gone for a coffee with an Irish person or you see two Irish people trying to pay a bill, it's like a fight, isn't it?
Yeah.
They'll be at the cash register, and if they have phones, they're bashing the phones against each other. I'm going to pay.
Yeah.
Sheila, no, don't pay. John, I'd love to pay for it now. It's my turn. Sheila, not on your Nelly. I'm going to pay for this. It's a back and forth, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an Irish tradition.
Yeah.
It's like a dance.
Yeah.
Where does it come from? We don't know. Maybe it's the famine. Maybe it's the Civil War 100 years ago. But Irish people are funny about payments, and it's something that we kind of have to do. I don't know why, but we do. And I'm going to tell a story about Pastor Tom. Do you want to hear a story about him?
Yes.
Yeah. Rat out your father, Dara. Yes. Go for it. Dad was at a Christian conference, Christian pastors conference, senior pastors conference in Italy over the last year. Praise God.
Yeah.
Yeah? It's not just Ireland, it's the nations. And God is using it. And you know what? Pray for Pastor Tom. Pray for my dad next week because he's going to Manchester and he's speaking at a pastor's conference there.
Oh,
yeah, so we pray for him. God is using the church and the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Small little dear Ireland. But anyway, Pastor Tom was at this conference in Italy, this pastor's conference, and they were going from the hotel to the airport and they were getting a taxi. And Dad was telling me this story, and he said he was in the taxi with Finnish pastors, people from Finland. Is anyone here from Finland? Thank you, Jesus. That's great. Okay. Now, as I said, you know us Irish people. We have to have this exchange about money, don't we? Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And if you don't, we get very offended. So they arrive at the airport, and Dad goes, I'm going to pay for the taxi. And the Finnish pastor goes, okay. And that was it. Now, when Dad told me the story, we were only talking about it the other day, weren't we, with Mike? When Dad told me the story, what verse it reminded me of is in Proverbs, it says, the world of the stingy grows smaller and smaller. The world of the generous grows bigger and bigger. Yeah? Don't be foolish with your money, but don't be stingy with it either. It's the message version. But anyway, so that was one story. And then I was talking to someone else, and they went to college in Germany on Erasmus. Fab. And they were Irish students. And this German student invited them over to their house, and they had some coffee and bread and jam, very hospitable. And the Irish student was delighted. And they went home after it and they got a text off the German student saying, I just sent you a Revolut. You owe me €1.80 for the coffee, the bread and the jam. Not even at a cafe or a restaurant, in their house. You're charging me for your manky cup of tea. I'd be, oh, don't stare at me. But us Irish are funny, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're funny. But hallelujah, it's already paid. It's
Amen.
Already paid.
Amen.
Now, brothers and sisters, God can pay your bills. In fact, he does.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
Money's from God. But God won't bless your stupidity.
No,
no
way.
No way, Jose. But this talk today, this sermon, is about something more valuable than money. It's about your salvation.
Amen.
And your sin has already been paid.
Amen.
That's the most important thing. The things of this world, your money problems will go. You cannot take your money to heaven.
Amen.
Your riches are in heaven.
Amen.
Yeah. So what we're looking at today is a very well-known passage of scripture. if you read your Bible, and it's Romans chapter 6. And it's all about sin's power is broken. Is that good news?
Yes.
Okay, some people are going yes, some people are like, I want the money talk. Give me the blessings. Sin's power is broken. So that's what we're looking at today. Your sin has already been paid. And you might be saying as a Christian, I know this. That should never get old to you. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. It should be such an amazing revelation on a regular basis for us of we are not slaves to sin anymore. We are free through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you're with me. Let's read what Romans chapter 6 says. God bless your word. Amen.
Amen.
Here's what it says. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? 30 people baptized last week. This is what the scripture is talking about. It says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Since we have been united with Jesus in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ on the cross so that sin might lose its power in your life. Read this last line with me. We are no longer slaves to sin. We do it again? We are no longer slaves to sin. Hallelujah. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God.
Amen.
So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to your sinful desires. Sin is no longer your master.
Amen.
For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Can I get an amen up in here? Come on. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? I'm going to read that for the people in the back who missed it. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to
death.
Or you can choose, you have a choice, to obey God, which leads to righteous living. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we just read most of Romans 6. It's not all of it, but can I encourage you in your own time, read it. And as we said, to sum it up, sin's power is broken in our lives. It's good news. It's great news. And when I was praying into the word this week, God spoke to me about this, about four ways people react to their sin. And I was talking to someone after the first service, and they were saying, you hear all the time about our sin. We know what sin is. We know how it can affect our lives and destroy our lives. We know that it separates us from God. But I believe that God wants to give us an observation. And this person I was speaking to agreed with it too. They're a Christian over 40 years. And they said, I never thought about the way that I react to my sin. I never thought about it. And it was like a revelation to them. When we know how we react to our sin, we can catch the triggers for it. Because we know when we sin, which we all do, everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. Me included. Hallelujah. I'm a sinner too. But it creates separation from us from God. And when we see we're not dealing with our sin or we're reacting in the wrong way, usually it creates this distance from God that we don't want. especially as Christians. We don't want that. We want to be close to God, don't we?
Yes.
So we're going to look at four ways that we react to our sin. Everyone sins. In this place here today, it's not a place of judgment. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There's no shame. There's no guilt. This is a place of freedom, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Yeah, so this is a message of hope. It's not a message of condemnation. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so here's the first one. First way people react to their sin is, I'll do some good. I'll do some good. Now, if I ask you, or I ask someone on the street, are you a good person? What do they say?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a good person. Now, here's the problem with that. Their definition of good, or my definition of good, mightn't be God's definition of good.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah?
It's very rare someone says, I'm an evil person, isn't it? And if they do, run. When people tell you who they are, believe them. Yeah? If they say they're crazy, they are. Run away. That's some free advice. But I'll do some good. And people who aren't Christians, they'll do some good in their lives, but they're not really conscious a lot of the time of the weight of their sin. They wouldn't think at times maybe pride is a sin, or greed is a sin, or hypocrisy is a sin. Whereas for us as Christians, we're so aware of our sin, because the closer you get to God, the more holy you become more like Christ, and you become more aware of how you're not like him. Yeah? So we get saved, that's salvation, hallelujah. Yeah, we have eternal life, we're right with Christ. But from when you get saved, that moment, to when you get to heaven or Jesus comes back, is called sanctification. It's you becoming more like Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah? That keeps on happening. So when we sin as Christians, sometimes our reaction is, I'm going to do good to try and balance this out. Now, let me say this about sin. Some people's sin is very obvious. You see them and you know it. I know what your issue is. All the Irish people reading each other. But most people's sin is very private. It doesn't matter what sin you're dealing with. It is not your place or my place to judge the sin. That's God's.
Amen.
Your job and my job is to love people. Yeah.
Amen.
Plain and simple.
Amen.
So when we sin as Christians, for some people, their reaction to their sin is, I'll do some good to balance it out. And brothers and sisters, we don't do good to be saved. We do good because we are saved.
Amen.
The Bible tells us, you might be saying, but Dara, the Bible says we're to do good to the widows, the orphans, the poor. We're to do good to the believers of the family of Christ. Hallelujah, absolutely. But that is not the foundation of your salvation.
Amen.
That doesn't forgive your sins. It's already been paid.
Yes. Amen.
And here's what it says in Ephesians. God saved you by his grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God.
Amen.
Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. So, you might be here and you're going, God, I messed up. I'm struggling with this sin. Might be in your mind a small one, it might be one that you're wrestling with, might be a massive thing for you. And your reaction might be here today and you're going, I'm going to read my Bible to help and do some good. That's great, there's nothing wrong with that. You might say, I'm going to give some money to the poor, money to the church. Nothing wrong with that. You might give your time. This watch represents time. I'm going to honour the Lord. I'm going to serve him. These are all great things. But as I said, it doesn't do anything with your sin. You're, in effect, people-pleasing or compensating for something that's already been paid, just as we learned. And you might be here today and you might think your sin is like this box. Look, this Amazon box. Hallelujah. Amazon Prime. What's it say in the front?
Sin.
Sin. Okay. So if this represents your sin, you're going, this is the area I messed up in, I'm struggling with, and this is the good that I'm trying to do You're trying to balance things out, yeah? But here's the key. You can't outwork a debt you can't measure. You're thinking it's this. You have no clue of all the sin in your life, before and after. And there's a beautiful song we used to sing. I won't sing it for you because you don't like my singing. I know you don't. Ah, nah, girl, don't tempt me now. Add a tune, please, now, honey. We won't go there. But there is a song, Here I Am to Worship. And the bridge of the song sums this up perfectly. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. You're thinking your sin is this. You have no idea what your sin is. You have no idea how Jesus paid for it or how much. Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And you're trying to outwork it by doing good, brothers and sisters. It doesn't work that way. It's already been paid. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be the best boy or the best girl in church or get a round of applause from Pastor Tom. There's none of that. You just have to go to Jesus and say, forgive me.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. My second service. Oh, you're with me this morning. This is bad. Okay. So that's the first way some people react to their sin. Try and do good. Here's the second way, and this is the one I struggle with. I won't think about it. Ouch. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. Now, people who aren't Christians can actually go through their whole life and not think about eternity, not think about their sin or how it affects things, and they just live life their way. Don't they? Some people live like that. And Frank Sinatra has the song, I did it my way.
You're singing, girl.
Very low. I'm going to go lower. I did it my way. I did it my way. It's not my gifting, thank you, Jesus. I can do many things, but I can't sing. But I shared it in the first service. I was at someone's funeral, and we were at the graveside, and the coffin or the casket was going into the ground, and that song was playing. I did it my way. And I knew this man. I was very fond of him, loved him, and he did life his way. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, at the end of it, when I'm looking at the casket, the coffin going into the grave, I'm going, Lord, I don't want to do it my way. I don't want to live a life like that. I want to do it your way, God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
For us as Christians, in reacting to our sin, there's usually two ways we react when it's, I won't think about it. And as I said, this is the one that I struggle with. The first is, you're doing good with God, you love God, you're honouring him, and you fall into an old sin. And what we read in Romans 6 really is that you have a new identity in Christ. You're a new person. You have a new life. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But the old sin happens and it's like an identity clash. And you thought you overcame the sin. You thought that struggle was over and you're just frozen in it. And it can become so overwhelming where you're going, God, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to address it. The second way it comes up for Christians, I won't think about the sin and how they react, is God has told you to do something and you're not doing it. Particularly for people who follow the Lord for years, this happens to everyone. I haven't met a Christian who's followed God obediently and hasn't hit this wall. And God's told you to get your house in order and you haven't. God's told you to pay off the debt and you haven't. God's told you to move and you haven't. And we all have it at times in our lives. And I don't want to think about it. And when we are disobedient to God, call a spade, that's what it is. I'm not obeying what God has asked me to do. Brothers and sisters, it's a sin. It's a sin. And this isn't a holy message of you're going to get all the money in the world. It's not that type of message. But you know, We're called here in grace, and all pastors and all churches and all people teach the word of God. This is what it says. So we get stuck. I don't want to think about it. I'm avoiding it. And it's a bit like this. It's a bit like a blindfold. Can I put it on?
Yeah.
Thanks, Sophia. She's going to go, girl. One second.
Bear with me. Let me get this on.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me not fall off the stage. Now, for people who aren't Christians, I'm going where's the mic? Oh, it's falling off. Happened in the first service too. I'm going to do like Tom did in the meeting last week with the white flannel, the white face cloth. Is anyone here for that?
Yeah.
Tilt your head back. That's going to stay on. Live church. Anyway, for people who aren't Christians, they're going around life like this. They are spiritually blind. And we read so many people in scripture not knowing Jesus, even Saul, who persecuted Christians, and they have an encounter with God and the scales fall off. They can see. Yeah? For us as Christians, when we react to our sin of I don't want to think about it, we're blinding ourselves.
Yes,
never. Now, this is more awkward than it looks. Okay. So I might be coming into church and I'm wearing my suit and I'm smiling and where's my Bible? And my Bible and very holy. And on the outside it might look, I'm doing great. But because I'm not addressing what I need to with God, I'm being blind to the things that God is doing. I'm not able to see things properly. And as time goes on, instead of addressing it, I get used to this. I start living like this and I start leaning on my own understanding and ability and I'm not walking by faith. I'm not even walking by sight. I'm blind. And we fall into this, brothers and sisters. I fall into this. I won't think about it. And here's what the Bible says in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it in abundance.
Amen.
That's God's will for your life.
Amen.
And some of us, in our disobedience, in our ignorance towards God, in our lack of humility, we blind ourselves to the things of God. We're not living the life that he has for us because we're not willing to address what we need to. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and James chapter 4, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want to be humble before the Lord.
Amen.
And you're not just rebelling against God, you're avoiding him. That's what it boils down to. I'm avoiding addressing this. So I've sinned in my life, or I'm not listening to the Lord, so I avoid God. I might be coming to church, I might be saying the prayer, I might look holy, but in here I'm far away. Brothers and sisters, when the Lord says, if my people will humble themselves, humble themselves. God is a forgiving God. He is gracious, he is kind. And as we read at the start, your sin has already been paid. You're avoiding it. God saw you commit the sin. He knows what's going on. There's nothing to hide. But yet we do. We're like Adam and Eve in the garden. We're ashamed. God, what did we read? He takes beauty for ashes. He turns shame into glory. That's what God does in our lives, brothers and sisters. We don't have to be a slave to sin and change it. And here's the final one on how people react to their sin. It's they go all in on sin. Ooh. Okay, you're not with me on that one. All right. Good, you're all Christians, all very holy. Go all in on sin. People live this way, don't they? People who aren't Christians. I'm going to die anyway. So I'm just going to do what feels good or what I like. No one take my money now, yeah? That's my money. My money missing. Anyway, they go all in. And life is a bit like a game of poker. Anyone play poker?
Yeah.
You shouldn't. Don't gamble. I'm only messing. I'm only messing. I'm very bold today. Now, Let me say this about gambling, yeah? We're not teaching you how to gamble in this church. Some people are going, go, if you go to Grace, they're teaching you to sin. We're not. Chill out. Here's what the Bible talks about money. It says that money is a gift from God. We're to steward our money. Amen? We're to honour God with our money, yeah? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that quick, get rich schemes do not work. And the book of Proverbs also says that any rich person or anyone who profits off the poor will have divine retribution, which means that when you get to heaven, you'll be answerable to the Lord on that. Gambling is not biblical, and as Christians, we should not be doing it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, we're on the same page. That's not my point, but I just wanted to state this, just so we're clear. So, if you've ever played poker, if you've ever watched it, you have a deck of cards and you have these things which are called chips. And they represent money values. And the aim of poker is to win all the money. Simple as that. And in poker, you don't get to choose what cards you're dealt. And it's a bit like life, isn't it? Our lives. So I'm going to deal myself a card. Here are a couple of cards. You don't get to choose where you're born. You don't get to choose your family. You don't get to choose the colour of your skin. You didn't get to choose whether you're a man or a woman. You didn't get to choose what happened to you in your childhood. We all agree on that?
Yeah.
So what happens is this. You didn't choose the cards you were dealt, but you've been trying to play them. So these are the cards we're dealt in life. Some of us have great starts, some of us don't. And we start making decisions based on the cards we've been dealt in life. And the decisions can look all different. And it could be, that's always been in my family. It could be, I've always struggled with this issue. It could be, I don't know any other way. It could be, this is what I know. This could be, I'm just struggling. And these are the cards we're dealt. And we play the cards. And we throw in and play this game with the cards that we're dealt in life. And we lose. Or we feel like we're losing. And then life keeps happening, doesn't it? Life doesn't stop for no one. And we get new cards that are dealt. And it could be, there's another bill and I can't pay it. It could be the relationship is at breaking point. It could be the doctor has said, that's it. It could be, it's always been this way. I don't know how I can do it any other way. It could be I'm stuck in this season and I can't get out of it. And when you play poker and you know you have a losing hand, or you feel like you have a losing hand and you don't, you know you're not going to win, some people have a tactic in it. And usually at the end of a card game, if you've lost, the winner will take all the chips. But some people, when they're playing poker, they'll do the opposite. They'll do a tactic when they know that they're losing, or they feel like it's all gone, and they'll do something called going all in. Because these are the cards I've been dealt. And I'm in debt, so I'm going to keep going anyway. I'll never pay that off. The doctor said there isn't any hope, so I'm not even going to try to get better. The relationship is so screwed up. Why would I even bother wasting any more time on it? Felt like I've wasted all my time. I'm so stuck in this season, I'm going to force myself out of it, whether God's in it or not. And I'm doing it, and I'm going all in. And I'm going all in on sin And it's not intentional. I'm not trying to be far from God, but I'm so sick of all this that I might as well go all in. And people find themselves in this situation. And there's people here today, and God wants to speak directly to you. You feel like you're losing. Hand after hand, round after round of life. And you're going, it's just losing and losing and losing. And I believe the Lord would say this to you. You don't have to play this game. Hallelujah. Amen. Get up and leave the sin at the table. You don't have to engage in this. Because when you engage in this, you're looking at all your problems, all my issues. This happened to me and that happened to me. I'm not taking away that those things are serious or traumatic, but God says you're free from it. You're not chained to any of this. In fact, you can knock it all off. I don't have to play any of this. Come on. Here's what the Bible says. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. You're playing a game you don't have to play. You think you're losing, but Jesus has already won. Stop looking at your problems. Stop looking at this is wrong and this is wrong. Look up to heaven. Chin up. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He's already won. Don't go all in on your sin. Any time in poker, if you're playing it, you can leave the table. Stand up, leave the table. You don't have to go another round. And if you do, you know what's going to happen. But you can do it God's way. When we react to our sin, we should be doing it God's way. Who wants to do things God's way? Come on, church. Here's what it says in the Bible. Colossians 2:14. Jesus cancelled the debt that stood against us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Whatever you owe in your sin, however consuming that is for you, he's paid it. It's gone. And some of us, brothers and sisters, when it comes to our sin, you're not fighting for freedom from it. You are fighting from freedom. When you are fighting your sin, he's already won. The same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the grave is in you. That's how you defeat your sin. That's how you have the power over it. Can I get an amen? Come on. Do I have some witnesses in here? Can anyone testify to this? The power of sin. Will you stand to your feet? Worship band, will you come on stage? Hallelujah. God is there. I'm going to knock this over. It's already paid. Say it with me. It's already paid. One more time. It's already paid. It's paid. It's paid. Can I ask everyone, close your eyes wherever you're at. We're going to pray and the band is going to just start playing. We all sin. We are all sinners. And here's my main prayer today. With all eyes closed, give people some privacy. If you are aware, Lord, when I react to my sin, I try and do good, or I try and not think about it, or I spiral in my sin and say I'm here anyway. And if you're here today and you're going, Jesus, I hear you, but I need your help. I need you to forgive me for my sins, which I think is most people. Will you raise a hand to heaven? Let's declare it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can put your hands down. The other prayer is this. It's the salvation prayer. We read it. You can have new life in Jesus. You don't have to play the games of the world. You don't have to be shackled to your sin. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If you are here today, and maybe you've fallen away from God, you've drifted, or maybe you don't know who this Jesus is, but you're saying, I need this God, this sounds great. If you're here and you want to ask Jesus into your life for the first time, or maybe in a second time, will you raise a hand high up to heaven wherever you're at, and we're going to pray with you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Hallelujah. I see three hands here in the second service. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, can we pray the prayer of salvation with these people? Yes? Yes. Let's pray this together. Repeat after me. Jesus, I thank you for dying,
for my sins.
I declare
you are Lord,
you are Savior.
I want to
follow you
all the days of my life.
I believe
you are God,
and I thank you
for my new life in you.
And the people of God said,
amen,
amen. Give them a round of applause. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to pray for God's forgiveness and God's help, let's lift a hand to heaven. I'm the same. We all need it. Hallelujah. Lord, see these hands, see these hearts in this room, Lord. We acknowledge that we need you, Jesus. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, for your forgiveness. We are sorry, Lord, for our sin. And we need your help, Jesus. I pray, God, that you would fill every one of my brothers and sisters with the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that we wouldn't just fall back into old ways or shackles. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't people please or try and balance things out. It's already paid, and it's paid in full. You have conquered the grave. You have paid for our sin. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be avoiding that, that we would run to you with it, that we would be like small little children running into our Father's arms, knowing that you're waiting for us, knowing that you forgive us. Wash us white as snow by your precious blood, Lord. And I pray for every single person in this room. As they leave this place, let the presence of God be upon them. As they go into their week, Lord, no matter what work holds, or school, or the doctor says, or the bank manager, or the court case, or what's going on in their head, or in their relationship, Lord, let your glory shine in their lives. Put your favor on them, Heavenly Father. Let this church and these people be the hands and feet of Jesus in their daily lives. Put your angels around everyone here, Lord. Protect them and the ones that they love. And keep us safe until we meet again. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Amen.